out soon with kids. Hey, how many of you were not here Sunday morning and would admit it? Thank you for your honesty. We announced on Sunday, just an exciting thing, just a testimony, on the day that Mary and I left for Australia a couple weeks ago, that Tuesday morning or evening, whatever it was, someone that doesn't go to our church, that used to go to the Eagle's Nest 1,000 years ago, 23, 24, 25 years ago, called the church and had a donation. So we said, okay, well, you don't have to go to church here to give to church. That's a pretty much golden rule. And she said, well, I want to donate a house. It's paid off, and it's valued at $250,000. So we received a $250,000 gift as a church last week, miraculously. And it just was unbelievable. There's a couple of points. To me, it was really exciting that God would, and this person was asked to remain anonymous to the point where they don't even want me to call them on the phone, I don't think. I am sending a nice letter. But someone from my past, and I think maybe they reconnected with the church through the TV program, which is on up there, our Sunday night program, and found out they were still around and had visited us once or twice down in the city after that. But God had restored something from almost a quarter of a century ago. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. God's going to bring blessings out of your past into your present two things that you don't see coming, or number two, have no idea there's any kind of thing. See, God can talk to anybody about you. He can talk to anybody about you. And when it's time for God to do something in your life, things just will show up. People, divine connections will show up. And the church has, the church had right now we have a pressing debt of about $150,000 we need to get paid off so we can, that's a bad debt that we don't want to have. And so we can wipe that off and we'll have $100,000 or so to advance our campus. And so I said this, that what God did for the church, he wants to do for you. So someone say, I'm next. Just turn to someone and say, amen. I'll take that. And as a part of that, we just are doing the simple thing. Summer of Miracles Pledge, I'm asking people to pray about, like Pastor Bonnie said, part of the reason God blesses our church, we're a giving church. We are a sowing church, kind of 24/7. Just everything that comes in, every resource, everything we have, just washes from us right through to the community and to the whole world. And we're believing to do a whole lot more in the time to come. But we're asking people to pray about, hey, Pastor, because God wants us to shift gears from how much we can make to how much we can give. So don't dream about how much you can make for the rest of this year. Dream about how much you can give, and God will increase your making to match your giving. And so that's the way to think. That's the way to think in the kingdom. So I'm just asking people to connect to God, and if God puts in your heart to do something, I believe we're in a miracle moment as a church to really get some things done. For example, we have estimates on our parking lot. They're anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 to redo our parking lot. We think we can maybe do it cheaper than that. But just, this is a massive property. It's between 30 to 50 years old. And little by little, we've been renovating it, but not quite thoroughly. We really would like, I want it to sparkle. I want it to look the best it can for what it is. Y'all with me? When Mary and I had a little $450 a month apartment in the bad part of town, our apartment sparkled. You with me? When I had my junker cars, I kept them washed and polished. And even though they were junkers, they looked nice for junkers. So we believe that it represents the interest of God for this campus to be visually improved. So we're just in that process. We've already put money into it. Last year, we raised about $65,000. People wanted to say, Pastor, how come we didn't get all that done last year? Well, we did as much as we could for $65,000. And we're continuing to do more, and thank you for your prayers. Tomorrow morning, I'm leaving for just 2 days to do a pastor's conference in Chicago. I'd appreciate your prayers. This is one of the, I'll fly, get off the plane, and go minister Thursday night and all day Friday, get on the plane Saturday, come back home. But this is an interesting thing. I was invited up there. You know, it was a group of 12 or 15 pastors. It is now mushroomed to several hundred pastors and leaders. So God's doing something in Chicago, and we didn't even advertise it. And so something's happening, and I'm seeing it happen. I saw it happen in Atlanta last week with pastors. Very exciting stuff. So we want to get the gatekeepers on fire, healed up and restored and in tune to what God's saying, so the rest of the church can benefit because of what God's doing in the life of pastors. So thank you for your prayers. If you remember, hold me up in prayer. I'd appreciate that. So I feel like the Lord's healing people tonight, so I want to jump in my message, but I just want to declare healing over your life. Anywhere you hurt, the Lord told me, here's what he said to me. He said, parts of people's bodies that aren't working. And he showed me a pancreas. He said, tell them I'm going to restore function. I'm going to restore the full designed operation of organs in their body. So I just loosen anyone's pancreas. I loosen healing to someone here has kidney disease, to your kidneys in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for opening someone's lung is at a diminished capacity. And they say you have some, CPC or whatever it is. And I just loosen your lungs to be free and to be functioning fully in the name of Jesus. If you need God to touch you anywhere in your body, just hold up your hands and just thank him that by the stripes of Jesus you have, just like Pastor Bonnie said, we don't have to beg him for healing. We have to claim healing that is ours, promised in Christ. It's ours. It's ours. God, thank you for healing. Thank you for touching people wherever they hurt and helping them and healing them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for healing blood. Thank you for healing blood disorders. Thank you, God, for healing bones and muscles and any kind of damage. Thank you, Father, you can do anything. We believe you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Isn't the Lord good? Listen, there's a lot of things you can talk about in church, but you can never talk about God's goodness enough. You can never say, oh, Pastor, you're talking too much about the goodness of God. No such thing. Amen? No such thing. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. And when we get to heaven, we're just going to see the pure realities of his love and goodness and think, man, it's really true. He is good. He's good all the time. He's good to everyone, and he's good to us. Amen? Hey, see, Clifford, I got a word for you. During the worship, I saw a vision of someone handing you the keys to a property and building, and I heard the Lord say that you're going to have an unusual business opportunity where someone drops a business into your hands for stewardship. And you'll say, God, you know, this, at this point in my life, I really want this, and I think the Lord just wants you to know in advance, he's green-lighting you for an expansion. Expanded role. He's going to send help. In fact, help is going to be just one phone call away. And the Lord's releasing to you a supernatural advancing of his kingdom in two other cities. It's going to happen by someone saying, can you take this over? Can you steward it? And however that transition happens, God's going to guide you. God's going to govern it. And God's going to make it very beneficial for you for the next 20 years. God, thank you. Miss Tony, I heard the Lord say two family miracles happening this summer and this year. But this year's over, thank you for miracles for the Clifford family in Jesus' name. God, you're a good God. Thank you for doing awesome things. In the name of Jesus. Come on, keep worshiping, Lord, everybody. God, we love you and praise you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Are you two guys together? Yeah. Can you grab hands? Let me pray for you. The Lord's coming to your family. He's visiting people that you've been crying out for. And I heard the Lord say, tell my daughter that I've heard the prayers concerning those that seem to be in jeopardy, that seem to be in an uncertain and even dangerous place, that the power of God is coming to your family to help them, to deliver them, to rescue them in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for it. Thank you for helping, doing great works. And I heard the Lord say over you, young man, that God is with you. God is strengthening you. God says you're in a new season. And the Lord says, thank you for shaking off things that tried to weigh you down. Thank you for shaking off the condemnation, the judgment, even the unfairness of others. And the Lord said, because you've just let go of people and let go of things that hurt you, God's given you a brand new season, a new opportunity season of just tremendous blessings. God, thank you for being with this awesome young man and young woman in Jesus' name. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. God, thank you for what you're doing. So the Lord's healing, just real close to me, someone's physical heart, that you have an issue with the irregular heartbeat and something else. Who is that? Okay, yeah, I thought maybe it was you. So what's your name, honey?
Pamela.
Lord, I speak healing to Miss Pamela right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing her heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. This is a great psalm. And David said, God, you've given me a new heart. Thank you for giving Pamela a new heart, God. Touching every realm, every artery, every function of it. Commanded to beat in sync with you, God. To be regulated and to be healthy and strong. And Lord, thank you for also the Lord's touching your body in three places. Thank you for touching her pancreas. Thank you for touching, God, her digestive systems. Thank you for doing miracles for this woman. In Jesus' name. So I saw that. So I saw a really cool thing. 2 weeks ago, I was in Seattle and I prophesied to a guy like you. I'd never met him. I just walked up to prophesy to him and I said, the doctor's going to be shaking their head because God's going to do something that they can't believe happened. I didn't know this, but the next day he had a major surgery scheduled. They brought him in. The surgeon looked at him, examined him, x-rayed him, and they spent 2.5 hours because he didn't need surgery. And so I saw the doctors shaking their head for you too. They're going to say her condition is reversing. Her condition is reversing. So I just command every organ in your body to respond in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for healing your precious daughter. You love her, God. You love her bunches. Bunches and bunches. And you're going to help her, God, in this season in Jesus' name. Come on, just keep talking to God. Everybody keep loving the Lord, everybody. He loves us. He's for us. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Just a couple of things. I believe God's up to something right now. And so I've had, you know, just by... I've traveled more than I have in 20 years this couple of months. And so I'm watching things, similar things happening everywhere. So I'm connecting the dots. Hey, God's doing something. So get ready. God is invading your world with heaven. It's true. It's coming. It's real. Hey, for a few moments, I want to open the word and preach the Bible to you. And we'll begin in 2 Peter chapter 1. Tell your neighbor, God is good. 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I like the first sentence because it says both things. I grew up with a lot of guys who described themselves as bondservants or slaves of God. And there's something endearing to that. There's something real. But if you don't capsize that, if you don't balance that with the other part, an apostle. I'm a love slave of heaven, but I'm an anointed history maker. See, it's the king and priest. There's a great, the genesis of bondservants is back to the Bible when a servant would be released in Hebrew culture. And, just 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, the servant, the Bible says, if he said to his masters, I don't want to leave. I love this house as if it's my own family. The Lord said, you'll make him like a son. And you'll stop treating him like a servant. And you'll have everyone in the family say, he's now a part of our family. So he was a servant by choice. And one of the cool things they would do, they would take his ear, the ear of this servant, and they would take an awl like a screwdriver, and they would pierce a hole to the door of the house. By the door, they would put it right there and pierce a hole. And it's so interesting that the symbol of a love servant adopted to a family was a pierced ear. And for all of you that like pierced body parts, I know you. But beyond that, it means that something happens when we hear from God. That there is a connection to intimate fellowship with God when we keep hearing from God. Okay, a bond servant, an apostle, to those that have obtained like precious faith. Isn't our faith precious? Come on now, isn't it wonderful? By the righteousness of God, what we have was not earned, was certainly not deserved, but it was given to us in the person of Jesus, who purchased our righteousness by his atoning work. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Titus 3 says, 2 Corinthians says, how glorious the gift of righteousness is given to us. That God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, grace and peace. Everybody shout grace and peace. These are such titanic, these are such explosive words, because they can't easily, simply be explained or defined. They're massive. So grace is, you know, it literally means unmerited favor, charis. It's that gift. And so it attaches us to everything God is. The God of all grace, who loves the world, gave us his son. He's always in a giving mode. And so grace is everything God is, and everything God gives us, and everything we have because of Jesus. It's just this massive transaction. And then peace, this rest with God, this powerful force that brings rest into our world, grace and peace. And here's what it says about those two treasures: grace and peace be multiplied. So I can get more, like we sang tonight. I heard someone, there's just interesting arguments, because when you think you can judge others by the small amount of truth you have, someday you'll grow into a larger understanding of that truth, and you'll be sorry you were so judgmental. Or someone say they need to stop singing that more and more songs. We have all of God that God's given. Yeah, it's true. God's released it legally as ours. It's not true. We have it experientially. And if you can't see that difference, just read the book of Acts. See how much more God has to give us. So there's more grace. Grace and peace be multiplied. There's more. We can have more. There's more love and joy and peace. There's more healing. There's more revelation. There's more contentment. There's more favor. There's more of everything grace exemplifies and gives us. There's simply more. So grace and peace be multiplied, how? To you in the knowledge of God. So the Bible opens up the treasury of God's grace and gives us access to experience those wonderful attributes and those blessed resources. The Bible is the way we access more grace, the knowledge of God. So what is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is in the scripture. So he's writing now to Gnostics. There's a spiritual warfare happening as philosophical knowledge and belief was rising up in combating Christianity. Peter said, it's not just knowledge, it's God's knowledge. You can be really smart with other kinds of knowledge, but God's knowledge gives you more of God. God's knowledge transforms your life and gives you more grace and more peace. So we have more. Someone shout, I want more. As his divine power, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of heaven, the very attributes of God, his omnipotence, have given unto us all things. Everybody shout, all things. All things. Because this is another item people say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about, you know, money or homosexuality or the Bible talks about everything. It's the how to do manual. When we were first married, and I have to confess my faults as a man, which are many, I would just look at something my wife would buy, a toy for the kids or something, a table to be put together at home, and I would say, I don't need instructions, honey. I have a brain. 2 hours later, when I put it together backwards, I say, honey, did you throw the instructions away? I have a handful of bolts here. I don't know where they go. So the Bible is God's manual for the human race how to do it. Now, we can either honor it, we can esteem it, but if you want to have a good life, put God's word first in your life. His power is given to us all things that pertain to life and to being godly in life, godliness. Here it is again, through the knowledge of God who's called us by glory and virtue. So God's knowledge unlocks the goodness of God, the grace of God, the peace of God, the life of God, the transformation that makes me godly. God's word changes who I am. It transforms me. It transforms me from the inside out. And so the knowledge of God, and then it gets even more specific. He's now honing in, the Holy Spirit, verse 4, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious promises. So the Bible, let's fall back in love with the Bible. Okay? And let's see it more than just a the Bible's what pastor uses for sermons. No, the Bible is your daily bread. It is your milk. It is your meat. It is how you sustain. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Your mind is renewed by God's word. Your soul is restored by God's word. So everything God has for you, he sends to you in form of a word. And once that word comes in, that experience begins to happen. If you hold on to it, keep it, grow it, believe it, it happens. So they had this massive, exceeding great and precious. Come on, just lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you for your word. God, we love your word. We honor your word. We rejoice that you've given us, God, this incredible thing called the Bible. Exceeding great and precious promises. Now, this next sentence is going to blow your mind. That through these promises, you may be a partaker of the divine nature. Oh, man, oh, man. There we just walked right off the ledge. What are you saying? God shares his nature with us in new birth. His nature develops in us through the entrance of his word, which is received and applied in our life. We become more like God, godly. We become more like Christ, Christ-like. So these promises allow us to partake of a different nature. Y'all with me? God's used me all over the world. And part of the reason God's used me is this. I'm representing the prophetic ministry in these places in a humble, genuine, and loving way. Because here's what I found out. A lot of people that have a gift are lousy Christians that just get by their gift. Come on now, I've been in restaurants where my famous preacher friends would be deeply wounded by the way they treated the waiter or waitress. And I'm thinking, man, if that crowd you just talked to saw how you really are. So here's what I found out. Gifts don't mean nothing. Y'all with me? I want to be like Jesus. I want my grandbabies, Pastor Debbie was there, I want my grandbabies, when they'll be grown people, looking down at my casket. Oh my God, he was such a good man. Poppy was such a good man. He was a lover. He loved us. He was selfless. He exemplified Christ. That's what I want. I appreciate the other stuff. People want those things, but I know what God wants. He wants me to look like him. So we partake of God nature as his children. God-likeness as his sons and daughters. The divine nature by his word. If you keep feeding your spirit God's word, and if you keep renewing your mind with God's word, you're going to become more godly. And guess what? That's the best thing you can do in this whole world. The best thing you can give God in your earthly lifetime. I appreciate souls. Yeah, let's win a billion souls. I appreciate miracles and prophets. But the best thing you can give God is to become like his son. And we become like his son through his knowledge. And his knowledge is his word. And the problem, every sentence of the Bible is filled with God. The DNA of Christ, the DNA of heaven is in every part of the Bible. And when you put it into, it awakens your nature, your new nature. As a believer, can I develop that thought for just a minute? Thank you. I'll do it anyways. The Bible says the word of God transforms your life. So there's a great scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says it like this. The word of God, the rhema of God, is not normal. There's no other book. I've written, you know, I think 11 books now. And, a couple of them are good. Dr. McRae, if I keep writing, there's hope for me in years to come. Now, the thing about my books, you may glean knowledge from them, but none of them can compare to God's word. In fact, the most beneficial part of my books are the parts where God's word is in it. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12, everybody say word of God, is living. It's a living book. It's so, Zoe is the Greek word for life. It's filled with life. In fact, Zoe means not just animate life or animal life or zoological life. Zoe means God life. The word of God is filled with God's life. It's filled with life and then power. The word of God is living and powerful. Everybody say powerful. So how powerful is it? Well, there's a spiritual world. From that world where God lives and exists for all eternity, he spoke things into existence. He said, light be, light was. He said, let there be waters, let there be land, let there be animals. He spoke things. And everything he spoke became a reality. The word of God is living and powerful. And then the Bible likens itself and is sharper than any two-edged sword. So people at the time of the Roman Empire understood about the razor-like sharpness of these swords the Romans used. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword because it has a function. And its function is piercing. What does it pierce? Our hard hearts. Our fleshly nature, our own ideas. Well, Pastor Mike, I think we ought to do this. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Now get this. So this is where decision making, this is where God helps us. Because when people make decisions, And either their mind is contributing information or their emotions are contributing feelings. When people make decisions, often with a good heart, they make really bad decisions. Anybody besides me been there? How could I have done that? Oh my God. Come on, that person you were running around, you thought he was it until you found out he wasn't it. He said, how could I be so wrong? So the Bible comes into this conglomerate, this union of our being, soul and spirit. And it brings a distinguishment of truth between what is God and what is man. So it brings a division. So I can then see the will of God clearly, separated from my own opinion, my own feelings, or people's evaluations. I can experience the honest revelation of God's will when his word comes in. It cuts, it brings order. Piercing to the divine center, soul and spirit. But that's so awesome because we need that help. And then joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I've had just wonderful people to, Pastor, you know, Pastor, pray for us. What do we want to pray for? Well, we've fallen in love. That's wonderful. Well, we're both married to other people. That's not wonderful. But you don't understand. We feel so much love. Our hearts, it feels so right. I know, that's because your heart is filthy. Here's what Jeremiah said. Your heart's a professional liar. Jeremiah said, deceitful. So your heart is capable of telling you, justifying the most inappropriate behavior. Well, it's not that bad. But when the word comes in, it regulates that and says, no, this is God's will. This is your soul. And so then the word says, in order for you to experience the best of what God has for you, you have to get your soul in union with your spirit. And the only way to do that is then to, with your mind and heart, renew your mind with that truth and then believe it's yours. And when you come into that alignment, your spirit and soul are at one, and that makes you unstoppable. When you're no longer segregated, when you're no longer separated by a disunion of agreement. Listen, out today, you know who the most miserable people in Phoenix, Arizona tonight are? Someone guess. Youth. No. No. Not your family. Okay. The most unhappy people in Arizona tonight are backsliders. Because their spirit knows now, because of Christ, what is right. And their soul, because of hurt and pain or disobedience, is separated. And they're living a spiritually schizophrenic existence. And they cannot find lasting peace or joy. Why? Because they're at war with God, but also with themselves. See, God loves us. He wants us to be happy. Everything that pertains to life and godliness given to us. Everything. God wants to help us in every part of life. Our responsibility is to be open enough for truth to reach us, to be hungry enough to grasp it when it comes, to have enough faith to not let go of it until it manifests in a reality, and to make sure we take the truth that we hear and we make it a part of the revolution, the universe of our mind, until we think in alignment with God. His word, whereby you're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might become like Jesus. You might take on his nature. There's a great scripture in the Bible. It's one of my favorite because it really rescued me when I was a young preacher. And it's in Romans chapter 12. And so the Bible says this. This is such a great introduction to a transformed life. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you yield, surrender your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Part of the warfare that the early church faced was this. In certain beliefs, philosophical beliefs, they had this, especially in the Greek world, they had this belief, it doesn't matter what your body does as long as your mind's okay. So they treated their bodies, they allowed their bodies the license for grotesque immorality or abuse, whatever it was, thinking, well, as long as I'm keeping my mind, you know, I'm feeding my mind knowledge and da da da, and so they separated, but God wants your body. He wants our bodies. hearing someone talk about monogamy. Oh, it's just impossible. Of course it's not. You can't let your flesh do everything it wants to do. Are you here? Now, your flesh doesn't want to get up in the morning. So shut up, flesh, and get up. There's about 50 of you that didn't want to come to church tonight. You're exhausted. You have a horrible week. You're tired. I'm going to church. Flesh, shut up. We're going to, didn't even have time for a meal. Just race to church. Here you are. How about this? Oh, the praise. I don't feel like praising tonight. I know who does. You with me? Been in 3 cities today. One of them was a doctor appointment. I've been all around. By the time I get here, oh, yeah. I'm going to worship. Big boy, you're going to worship too. Get ready. Hands up, feet moving. You have to. So God wants your body. And so here's what the Bible says in relationship to that loving. God wants your body a living, holy sacrifice to God. Every day, listen to me. Every day I've come home to my wife and remained faithful to my marriage vows, it rose to God as a living sacrifice. Come on. Come on. Every time I made myself, anybody besides me, have a chance to talk back to someone who was inappropriately with you, talking to you? You know, oh, that's what you have to say. You know, my mind comes up with, I sometimes have a quick wit. Thank God I stopped saying the things I thought. I was enjoying it in my mind. Man, did I let you have it up here? So I've learned to not let stuff come out of my mouth. You with me? You know how a fight, you can't have a fight unless there's two parties. A quiet answer douses anger. Okay, so God wants our body. It's the and one translation says, it is the least we can do is to give him our lives. He's given us everything. Amen? So that's settled. Just say, God wants my body. Turn to someone and say, God wants your body. He might be the only one right now, but it's God wants it. It's okay. So listen. So the way that God gains access to our body is through our mind. So verse 2 says, here's how that works. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, test, know, and experience. What is that? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When I renew my mind, my body adjusts its behavior according to my thoughts. And my most dominant thoughts then become the instruments of my most dominant actions. If you want to change what you're doing, you have to change what you're thinking. And so the Bible says, bring the truth of God's word purposely, dynamically, intentionally into the orbit of your thought life until your actions match that truth. Oh, Pastor, it's really hard to forgive people. I know, but just keep putting the thoughts of forgiveness from God's word in your mind. Keep confessing out of your mouth. And before you know it, you'll start feeling forgiveness. You'll become a lover, not a fighter. Y'all with me? Well, Pastor, you don't know my family. We're all hot-blooded Italians. Now, listen, we all got some reason for being ungodly. You know with me? I come from a long line of stubborn-headed, women-chasing men, and I just refused to let that identify who I am. Now, of course, God's helped me with a couple 2x4s, but we're working in the stubborn part. He's helping me. So God says, I can... This is the great, it's, it is so explosive because there's the dynamic of the culture is this. Can people really change? You are what you are. Okay, sarah, sarah. So that's the new cultural pop psychology. That's kind of the new level point. Well, if you're just born that way. Yeah, you were born a filthy, rotten sinner. Don't make license for your Adamic nature. Introduce it to your new nature. So what we don't want to do is not address an issue inside of our life that's either has a strong place, a dominant place, a controlling place, or a hurtful place, because somehow people say, well, it's okay that I'm like this. So our mirror is not the, you know, the DMS, what they say in psychology about disorders and what's not a disorder, because what they're leaning to now is nothing's really a disorder. We just are different. But when you read the Bible says, no, it's a disorder. You're suffering with a disorder called sin, called the sinful nature. And so even though you are born again, your spirit's alive, your soul needs transformation. So I like to tell people, I'm a soul man. James Brown, okay? I'm a soul man because the moment you receive Christ, your spirit got as saved as you'll ever be. See, this is what people say, well, Pastor, can someone lose their salvation? Well, I suppose it could happen, but it doesn't happen because, you know, someone went out and got a drink and, you know, died in an accident. Just a Christian that's suffering. Because the moment you receive Christ, the Bible says, our spirits are made renewed. They're made perfect as if we never sinned. But we have this other compartment called our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And over there, we're in a lifelong journey to renew it. And we renew it by introducing the information, the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God comes to our soul. It renews our mind as though we start thinking like God. See, the kingdom of God, more than anything else, is a kingdom of thought. You have to get this. And when your thoughts align with that jet stream of kingdom truth, man, it carries you into a whole different realm of life called the abundant life, called the promised land, called the whatever, however you want to describe it, that's the life God has for you. And the way you get there is by changing the way you're thinking. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Because the culture identifies people, groups that think away, license them, empowers them, but the Bible confronts them. It confronts sin. It confronts our sinful nature, not in a harsh, judgmental. It confronts us to change us. Mary and I did not discipline our kids because we hated them. You stupid turkey. I can't believe you're my son. No. They do something stupid, we would intervene in their behavior and say, your actions were wrong. What made you do that? Now, we have a behavior modification system. Yeah. I already offended enough people. I don't want to go there right now. Message Bible, verse 2. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Wow. The culture is sweeping down. All this different mores. People say, well, I think this should be allowed. I think this is okay. Well, that's good. At least you're thinking. Now let's put your thinking. Let's introduce your thoughts to God's thoughts until they're the same. See, God, I'm helping all kinds of people because when I go to meet somebody, I don't have an agenda. I don't have a judgmental. I don't care where they've come from. God loves everybody. He has something good to say to everybody. Y'all with me? Republican, Democrat, conservative, crazy. I mean, liberal. Forgive me. We don't want to fit in when we're called to stand out. Now this is the point. because people say, well, Pastor, if I do those things, it's going to be confrontational. Yes, but here's the way you have to look at it. People that are engulfed by a wrong belief are suffering. It is not loving to say to them, we accept your wrong belief. That's not love. Love says, we love you in spite of your wrong beliefs. And if you let us, we'll introduce you to the God who can change your mind about what you're doing. Remember Stephen Tony, when I prayed for a musician's BAM, the largest jazz nightclub in Phoenix, Jim and Nancy Simmons, they got saved. It's just phenomenal. The best drummer in Arizona, the best sax player, the best bass player. They're all sitting in the pew. And so just a couple months after they're saved, I put them on the stage and I get nasty notes. Pastor, you may not know this, but that couple own a nightclub. They serve liquor. They shake their booties. And I said, yeah, I know all that. If we give this couple enough quality encounters with Jesus, Jesus will change them instead of the pastor. See, my kids are all adults now. There's no more discipline going on. You know what I mean? And I'm a grandpa. The ground rules for my grandkids are, there are no rules at grandpa's house. So we pretty much go crazy and they get in trouble. Not my fault. But I believe that I set an example, gave them enough truth as children that when they became adults, their decision-making would match godly decision-making. See, the church is not a babysitting unit. Okay, church, we've come up with 5 more things you can't do. They're on the handout. Someone saw one of you in a bowling alley that served liquor. Please stop going there. There's one other thing. There was a lady here that had too much cleavage in her top. Please fix that up. Now, it's not that that's never not a problem. I wouldn't know. My eyes are pure. Why are you laughing? If God forgive this church. But you don't help it. We can't help people get more like Jesus when we demand holiness before there's been transformation. See, had the babies changing their diapers, didn't scream at the 6-month-old, I can't believe you're still crapping in your diaper. You with me? That's what babies do. How many of you found that out? When we first were married, I had the anointing to pass that baby to the mother. Honey, the baby needs you. After a couple babies, she figured out, change it yourself. Put a clothespin on your nose, be a man. Next part of this verse, Message Bible. I'm almost done. Truthfully. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture you fit into without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. And then you'll be changed from the inside out. Recognize what God wants from you and then quickly respond to it. That's just so good. The reason why holiness is important to God is because the healthiest you'll ever be is in holiness. Body, soul, spirit. Holiness is health. God loves you, wants you healthy. So he wants you godly. He wants you Christ-like. He wants you holy. So the Bible is the pathway to that transformation of living. And it gives us access through his precious promises to a nature that overcomes my old nature. Colossians says it like this: put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Ephesians says the same thing: put on the new man. Put on the new. The Lord said it to me like this: keep putting on the new until it's really you. What I did, see, I have radically experienced dynamic personal change in my life. I've done it by receiving the truth, embracing that truth, and making that truth a part of the vocabulary of my mind and mouth until my life changed into alignment with that truth. Y'all with me? I walked around for months. I walked around and said, thank you, God, you're going to show me things to come. People say, how do you prophesy over people? I thanked God as a young person for the gift of prophecy, for the gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I claimed it. Nobody called me out. Nobody said, I just claimed from the Bible. When we had nothing, we were living in the ghetto with two babies, living next to gangbangers, living next to widows. No food in the pantry. The church paid me nothing in California. I cried out to God for help. And God took me through the Bible and said, you don't have to live like this. If you can believe me, your life can change. What'd you do? I got a part-time job. I was filled with faith. I went to a secondhand sale, a garage sale. I found a suit there. I bought a used suit with a tie. I went into that office. I worked 15 hours a week for 10 months, and I made $100,000. How'd you make it? By the word of God. Yeah. It took me from a poor-minded preacher into a prosperous-minded business person. And without God divinely intervening in my life, I would have kept going in that business curve because, I enjoyed watching God do things. But I'm called to do this. Would you stand to your feet, please, this evening? Thank you for your attention. Everybody say, I'm changing. Yeah, I'm changing. God, thank you for the new nature. Thank you for the nature you've given us that's yours, the divine nature. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. Your word, God, that restores our soul. Your word, God, that heals the broken places. Your word that makes us into someone different. Anybody can change. That's the truth. In the kingdom, we change. In the culture, we don't. In the kingdom, we become more like him as we feast on his word. In the kingdom, from glory to glory, he transforms us into the same image that we look at, beholding the truth of his word, the promise, the precious promises. They change us. Thank you, Father, for changing us. Come on, everyone here, if you're a believer, you know you've experienced real change. Just thank God for what he's done so far in your walk with him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, loving God, how faithful you've been. Thank you, God. God, I thank you. Now listen to me. God is ready to take you somewhere new. God is ready to advance your life, to accelerate you, to move you into a different platform, a different plateau, a different expression. Come on, just keep worshiping the Lord. The Holy Ghost is here powerfully. I won't keep you real, real long. Miracle coming to your house. Miracle coming soon. God says, thank you for believing. Thank you for standing. Thank you for trusting. Thank you for letting him relaunch your faith, reestablish your heart. And the Lord says, I'm going to make the bad things that happen, these two things, I'm going to make both of them become testimonies of my faithfulness. And you'll see that I'm a good father, I'm a good God, and I work all things together for my good. And I'm going to make this mess your miracle. And someday, you'll tell all kinds of people, when I was at my lowest point, God did a miracle and made raise me to my highest point. And that's where I have you. That's where I'm taking you. The Lord says, thank you, God, for touching her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord's doing a miracle in your family. And thank you. Is that for me? The Lord's doing a miracle. It's a miracle season. heard the Lord say, thank you for your trust in me. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your genuineness of faith, both sincere and pure. Thank you for forgiving those. And the Lord says, now, even in this day, as you called out to me, cried out to me, for those that you love, those that you care for, those that you've given birth to, I have sent a word, delivering, healing, redeeming. You gave me these three lives when they were small. You dedicated them to me. And the Lord says, I am retrieving what is mine. And you'll see it, the Lord says. It's a season of miracles. And the thing that looks impossible, I'm going to adjust it, fix it. I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to do the impossible. This is your summer of miracles. I'm touching your body. I'm healing you. I'm strengthening you, the Lord says. I'm doing a miracle in you and for you. Thank you, God. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Thank you, God, for your grace in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I heard the Lord say, Kelly, 360, God's doing it. You're coming in this aisle. Unbelievable season. And I heard the Lord say, everything that was shut off from you last week is going to be open to you next week. So everything's going to turn around like this. You're going to see a 360 come around with the favor of God, so outrageous. Family, children, business. And the Lord said, they keep telling you what I can't do for you anymore. But I want you to know, I can do everything I ever promised you. And I'm not done. And you've learned to regulate things, your expectations. You've learned to apply your faith. You've learned to trust me. And this is, the Lord says, get ready. A countdown has begun. You're in a season of a countdown to a blast off into a miraculous outcome because I'm with you. Prayer team, would you join me down front, please? Prayer team, come out down front. Thank you, Jesus. Can I pray for you? A miracle's coming to your life. A miracle's coming this night. I've rebuked the devourer. I've rebuked the spirit of destruction that devoured people you loved and things you loved. I'm fighting for you. I am your champion. And you are not alone. And God says, with a severity of power, I'm driving away the things that have been harassing you. And I'm loosening my kingdom that makes everything new. And you're going to stop feeling like you're 50. And you'll start feeling in the 20s. And you'll start feeling normal again because I'm with you, says the Lord. God, thank you for touching your life in Jesus' name. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Anyone that wants prayer, anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, if you need a miracle in your body, I invite you to come on down. I don't want to keep the rest of church, but anyone that wants prayer, please come forward right here. Have someone pray for you. We're going to lift your need to God, lift your life to God and pray for you right now. Anyone else?
That you are good, for I will taste and see that you are good.
Yeah, I'll take it. Thanks, buddy.
For I will taste.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven.
And see that you are good.
I will taste and see.
And see that you are good.
I will taste
and see that you are good.
Good to me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you in Osmond Church. Anyone wanting prayer, take advantage of this moment. Have an awesome week. I've got an awesome message Sunday. If you're traveling out of town, have a safe and prosperous trip. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. Tell someone before you leave, Jesus really loves you. You can stay here as long as you want to as we worship and pray.
I will taste and see that you are good. Good to me. And I will taste and see that you are